as we all know, the Psalms have a way of doing that. The Psalms is a way in which we find our voice, because we can read through the Psalms and then find a passage that says, that's exactly how I feel. Amen. Or that's exactly what I'm thinking. Or that's exactly where I'm at, or where I just was at, and we find our voice there. There's a tradition in the church that when Jesus went up on the mountain to pray, where he would spend all night in prayer, the thought was, well, what did he pray about? What did he talk to the Lord about? And the tradition was, when you read the Psalms, you are hearing what the Lord was saying. You're entering in as he is ever present to the Father ever present to him, and always, always that relationship, that communion that goes on. And so it's so imperative that in the midst of this pilgrimage that we're on, that we continue to return to that place that's real and that's authentic, that it's not something that we're playing at. It's something that speaks to us in every moment of our life, whether we're on Mount Tabor or whether we're in that valley of the shadow of death, that at every moment there is that sense of authenticity of the Lord's presence. You know, David, in Psalm 27, verse 4, says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Probably to a person, you've known Jonathan longer than I have, longer than we have. Maybe for some of you, you haven't known him as long as maybe for some of you, you don't know him hardly at all. I don't know. But I'm not trying to turn this into a focus just on that in regards to like a funeral homily or something like that. That's not my intent. But I would say something about this particular passage that has, when I think of Jonathan, I think of this passage. He was a warrior, right? And I want to share, and I was thinking about this morning, you know, even when we were singing praises about, you know, Lord, there's some sacred moments that I have had the privilege of being a part of. And it's because of my office. It's not because of anything of me. It's just because of my office. That's all. And last night, when things transpired very, very, very quickly, a couple of policemen came, because that's part of the process, and one of the policemen was a younger guy and African-American, and when Jen came out and gave him Jonathan's driver's license, I'm not trying to be dramatic when I say this, but it's like he got weak knees, and then he sat down, and he said, I had no idea it was him. I didn't even know he was sick. He said, I've talked to him I don't know how many times. He's called the police department over the years because of things going on in Fairfield, and I would be always the one that was there, and he would always talk to me. And he would oftentimes, you know, he mentioned about praying and all that, but he was just so blown away that it was Jonathan. And he said, I never knew he was sick. He never said a word about it. And Jen just said, well, Jonathan really didn't want to focus on that at all. Yeah. So when I look at this passage in Psalm 27, you know, for Jonathan being this warrior, that's what he was. I know that when we first got here, he talked about how you and he would go out on the street corners and evangelize people, right? We were at that Power and Love conference, and we went to that restaurant, and so it's looking for all these people he can minister to, all these people he can maybe have a word for. That's warring. That's believing in that. And yet there's another part of this passage here where David says, and one thing I desire is to dwell in the house of the Lord and inquire in his temple. When that family, their family went to that camp earlier in the year, Stacy and I drove up there, and I had the opportunity of spending some time with Jonathan, and he was so adamant about this. And this is one of those kinds of things that I know I have to be probably a bit careful about. But he said, you know, there's... How do I say this? Let me put it this way. He knew that he knew. God didn't give him that. God didn't give him cancer. He wasn't angry at the Lord. He wasn't upset with the Lord. He wasn't blaming the Lord. He wasn't taking an offense regards to any of that. That was the farthest thing from his heart and mind. The Lord had nothing to do with that whatsoever. And in the midst of that, he would say, I keep asking the Lord, what do you want me to learn? What do you want me to learn from this? It's like inquiring in his temple, continually inquiring in his temple. What do you want me to learn? Lord, and I hope I've learned all the lessons that you want, because I would really like this to be over. But what do you want me to learn? Don't let me miss what it is that you want me to learn. That's amazing. That's an amazing depth for an individual to be going through this and saying that, you know, the Lord is not in any way against me or my family. And to be able to, at the same time, inquire in his temple, inquire before the Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to learn? What are you saying to me? What wisdom and what depth to be able to carry that in the midst of this. And you know, last night I'd gone over there in the morning, and they were putting all the siding on the house, and then I told Jen I would be back later just to see how things were going. And so I got back there around somewhere between 6 and 7, something like that. And Jen was very, very much at peace, because Jonathan was so peaceful and relaxed, the most he had been in a long time. He wasn't restless. And she said, I've asked everybody to go home because I'm going to just be here tonight with Jonathan, and I'm going to be able to get some rest. I'm going to be able to get some sleep. And so, you know, we were talking about some stuff, and I was mentioning to her that I knew there were times that she would walk into a room and she'd have to put on a mask, and she'd have to be a certain way for this person, and a certain way for this person, and a certain way for this person, because just the sorts of expectations and things that she would be interacting with, and just tired, you know. And when I say about being careful about what it is that I want to say in regards to the sacred moments, it's not, it is just what it is. It is just what it is. It's trying to navigate through all of that. And so, any rate, I was getting ready to leave, and at this point it must be, because I wasn't going to stay very long. And so, any rate, went into the room, and he was all of a sudden very, very restless. And groaning a bit, and she hadn't seen that. And but prior to that, what she had said to me is, you know, he hasn't been as lucid as I would, you know, as I would like him to be the last few days. But the other day I was in there, and he leaned up and kissed me on the neck, and then he said something that made absolutely no sense at all. But I sort of took that as saying, I love you. But this is what I wanted to share with you. When we went in the room, and he's, you know, it's very obvious his breathing got very labored very, very quickly, very quickly. It happened so fast. And I don't know how many of you have been around someone when they're coming to that point in their life, when their life is, you know that there's not much time. He opened his eyes, and his eyes were open during that whole time. And they were fixed on Jen. And they were looking at one another, eye to eye, that whole time, that whole entire time. And she was saying, I love you. And, you know, I'm on the other side of the bed praying for him, praying what it is that he'd asked me to pray for. And it was one of those sacred moments that you could see this absolute God encounter, that the Lord was so in the midst of that. And then he closed his eyes. But it was this sacredness that was there. It was like this connection that happened that I just wanted to share with you to be able to say that I had the privilege, but I want to draw you into that, the privilege of seeing something that was so holy, so incredibly holy, and knowing that God was right there in the midst of that, all of this in the palm of his hand. Not the author of destruction, but the one who is able to restore life. Does anybody want to share anything? Hang on a second, Carlton.
Spent so much time not in this world, and it used to get on my nerves. But he saw people with Christ's eyes, and he looked for that in people when he encountered them.
That's right.
And he loved large.
That's right.
And one of the things he kept saying to me as we would interact over the last couple of months, 4 months, because strangers would come help. You know, we would, there would be people there working and helping me, and he couldn't get out and get all over those people like he wanted to. And he would harass me about it. He wanted me hugging people. He wanted me hugging people like he used to hug me. Not just a little quickie, but a real deep, loving hug. And I'll miss that. He would tell us, don't miss an opportunity to hug somebody today and to love them deeply and to see them with Jesus' eyes.
Amen. Melinda?
One more thing, just to reiterate what Father Mark said as we got here. God spoke to me this morning and told me, I was reading about Lazarus, and he reminded me that weeping is up. So here I am, weeping. And don't feel bad about it. It doesn't mean you don't believe anything. But I was sitting here during the worship. Actually, I found out about I wanted to have a good cry, and I just didn't seem to do it. And so I was sitting here during the worship, and I thought to myself, I'm going to miss hearing him shout hallelujah from the back of the church. And then somebody did. And I don't know who did it, but thank you, because I finally had a good cry. And we're all going to miss him, but we know he's up there.
That's right.
Rick?
I was quite a bit older than Jonathan, and there's enough difference. I could have been his dad. And one of the things about getting older is that you begin to have a sense of what you haven't done in your life. And you haven't lived a very good life. A lot of regret can come later on in life. We always measure things on yardsticks and rulers and timelines and things like that, but if being completely opened up to God and not holding anything back was the measure of a full and long life that Jonathan lived, what? And like Carlton said, and I'm just saying this for myself, not for him, it sometimes in fleshly attitudes I had about Jonathan when we'd be together, I'd be a little irritated with him about one thing or the other. But I've come to realize that it was my shortcomings that irritated me. It wasn't that Jonathan was doing anything wrong. And it's the last thing I have had to, I've thought about this a bit since Jonathan's been absent because he's been weak. Whatever we heard him do here, whatever he did, the spot that he occupied up on the altar, if we don't now do it, it's lost. So we can't just mourn the passing of someone and let their memory just fade into obscurity. But we're a living, breathing body of God, and a part of ours has been transferred somewhere else, and if we don't take his place up, we've lost something. I mean, I feel that personally. I can't speak for you. You may be doing a far better job of taking his place than I know anything about, but I know that I have failed in many ways, but I'm still trying. I appreciate it. I think about being old and just getting cut up for skin cancers and some of the things that happened to me. I have no idea what Jonathan has suffered and been through, and to have come through this with the attitude that he did makes me feel pretty insignificant, wondering if I could take a tenth of it without whining about it. Never heard him whine, never saw him do anything untoward. He was an example to me.
I've known Jonathan probably close to 20 years, and I was up here praying last night. None of us knew that last night would be the night. And sometimes, at least myself, I don't really know how to pray in these situations. And so I just started praying against the spirit of fear for the family, that they wouldn't be afraid during this time. And I began praying for Jonathan that he would be able to shake off any other chains or ties that would keep him from fully experiencing the Lord during this time. And as I prayed that prayer, I didn't really realize it at the time, I guess, but this morning when I found out that he had passed, I was reminded of that prayer, and I think that was really Jonathan's prayer for us in the way that he worshiped. And you know, I didn't know Jonathan when he first became a Christian, but I can imagine how the Holy Spirit just sparked this fire within him. And you wasn't perfect. He was a sinner saved by grace like we all are. But that fire burned in his heart and in his spirit from the time that he became a Christian to last night. And I think if Jonathan were here, he would want that fire to burn in all of us.
Amen.
And he would encourage us to shake off any chains or any ties that would keep us from fully loving and from fully worshiping the Lord and from being able to fully give ourselves to the Lord. Now, that's not going to look like what Jonathan did for everybody because everybody's different. But inside is the key. And if we're not interiorly willing to offer our full selves to the Lord as Jonathan did, then we're missing something. And Jonathan wouldn't want us to miss anything that the Lord has for us. And I think that was part of a casting vision that he gave his small part for this church, in that he was always chasing after the Lord, chasing after the Holy Spirit. And again, he didn't always do it perfectly, but that's what we're all called to do, to honor that memory and to honor what the Lord puts in us, to fully and wholly chase after him.
There is a church militant that would be you. And there's a church triumphant. That will be all those who went before. Scripture says that there are myriads upon myriads fall before the Lord and worship. That's us, and it's them. We say in our confession of faith that we believe in the communion of saints. Communion of saints means us, but it means them too. When we worship, we join the choirs in heaven, and the heavens join in our singing and our praise too. And we are one. Jonathan has escaped like a deer, leaping from place to place on the mountaintops, from the things that he had here that he had to suffer at the end of his life. He passed well. He left good things. He leaves good things. There are things that we have to do that he trusts us with in his family. Things of joy. The things of responsibility. And these things will be met well. We're not separated from those who are in heaven. They make intercession for us. They're not things we often think about, but they do make intercession for us just as we pray for one another. Jonathan's praying for us now in a place of joy and gladness that even surpassed what he had here. He wants that for us. God has that for us. I thank God for the life of Jonathan, even though we're now separated in body, that we're not separated in the love of God.
God knew Jonathan about 2 years as well when he came to his church. Sure, we were married yet. We met for a lot of, he had some prayer meetings at different people's houses. One thing I want to say about Jonathan is he was a father. My sons, he always hugged them, very clean. When there were issues, he came beside me.
doubt that many others of you have things on your hearts. And hopefully in time that can be shared as well. So we're about to have the proclaiming the creed and then the sign of the peace, and then we will continue on with the Eucharist. And I would encourage you again today regarding the Eucharist that it's really important that we ask the Lord that we grieve well. And it's also the realization that if we are able to grieve well, then we're able also to rejoice well. But we have to be honest with the first before the other can be released in times like this. And I would also encourage you in regards to the Eucharist, if this stirs up anything for any of you in regards to so much that was already said, and just thinking of Deacon Jason talking about, you know, any kinds of chains or whatever, if there's any fears that you have that get stirred up, that maybe sometimes is latent or avoided, I'd encourage you to make sure that you surrender those to the Lord today. Continue to give those again and lay them at His feet. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. And as we come to Him, you know, the Lord has given us life. We are told that our days are numbered before one of them existed, but He's the one who restores life. And He takes a hold of who we are, and so we surrender that again fully and completely to Him. Surrendering our hearts. For He who did not spare His own Son, so as death and everything else that wars against us would be conquered, that Christ is victorious. Amen. So if we could have that creed...